Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, Pastor Elder.
When we come to worship, we come for the purpose that we might know what it means to be holy. And so let's sing that hymn, that we need to take time to be holy, number 706. Reading of the Word of God, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, 10 verses, that is 5, 27 to 37.
Matthew 5, verses 27 through 37. The morning's text is verse 37, though. Now, to give honor to the Word of God, that is God's precious Word, let's stand and read together. Watch those punctuations that we don't get in a race here, friends. Kind of pause at each punctuation that'll keep us together. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, we have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. And I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor for his God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his throne, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communications be yea and yea, nay and nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. This is the word of God. Please be seated, and let's sing a hymn before we have prayer. Let's ask the Lord to come as the Almighty King. Number 89. Together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us turn, please, to the Matthew Gospel, chapter 5, and consider this morning a subject that I think that has a whole lot to say in the Word of God, and it needs to be given attention. You know we're in the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Sermon on the Mount we find ourselves the Lord describing the children of the kingdom in the 5th chapter of Matthew. And he goes on specifically as to how we're to function as light and as salt. And then he says in verse 20 about something that he carries out by illustration further. He says, "For I say unto you," Matthew 5:20, "that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, he uses 6 illustrations to show you what he means by that righteousness. Your righteousness must be greater than those of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they were the religious bunch. And so we have dealt with, in verse 27, the need for purity. He said your purity must be not just the external, but the inner, the heart. We looked at verses 31 and 32 about the matter of fidelity in marriage. Only a very narrow area for a divorce. And you know, I'm finding as we even try to look at some movies that are presentable, and that's getting to be the scariest thing. I said to my wife last night, I think maybe we had to get rid of this thing. But probably won't, because we do get news. But it just seems that if it's a movie, that the occasion where two couples are starting to talk, invariably they both have been divorced. Yeah, you check it out. And so that promotes in our country, in our culture, that, hey, Hollywood says that, you know, every time we see a movie, practically, the couples talk about they've been previously divorced, so it must be the acceptable thing. No, no. The Word of God says, if your righteousness is going to see the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and in order for you to get to heaven, you got to see something a little differently. I say to you that it's an inner thing and not just an external thing. And that's what he's saying, fidelity. And so this matter of adultery, we looked at that in verses 31 and 32. Now then we come to verses 33 to 37, having to do with the subject of honesty. That is indeed a subject that's, my mom used to say, you know, son, honesty is the best policy, and she kind of preached that. I want you to know, first of all, the Bible has a lot to say about honesty. I'm only going to get the surface of it this morning. I challenge you. You find out what the Word of God says about honesty, it will strike you strange. God is a God of truth, and you need to keep that in mind first of all. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6:18 that He cannot lie. Now that's the kind of God the Bible has, and that we have. And He wants us to follow His footsteps if we're going to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees in order not to enter heaven. It's not by works, it's by Christ's work. But I want to say something to you. It is not easy. Not easy. Because if we want to have our inner character, that's a different situation. Not to lie. You know, it's amazing. I think even among Christians, there is this problem in Romans 12th chapter in verse 3. I think there's a real problem amongst Christians. And that is that we get the idea somehow or rather that we are really somebody's, and boy, it is some. I am somebody. I really am. I don't know about you. I'm not a bum. And the Word of God tells us, in the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 2, that we're not to be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But the next verse, I want us to hear this, all of us. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that includes every one of you, including myself, that every man or person among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the immediate measure of faith. Hey, I've been around a long time, and I know some Christians, they think they're pretty hot. And they are somebody's. Careful. God says, don't get the idea that you really are somebody, thinking that you're better than you are, and lying to yourself, and lying to others. This is quite a subject. Now, the call for honesty has even reached to some groups, I believe, wrongly, but it gives the impression that that they are right by using this passage before us. And that is the Mennonites and the Quakers, the Friends, they look at this passage and they said, there it is. That you're not to swear at all, verse 34. You go to court, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. I cannot do that. The Bible says I dare not swear. Well, that may sound pretty good, but it won't stand up in the whole context of the scriptures. God himself, and I could give you a multitude of scriptures, but I think there's a place where if you're really interested in looking at it more deeply, you can do some studying yourselves, not depend on preachers to do everything for you and chew up the food and give it to you. You have a responsibility to study the Word of God too. But God himself made oaths. God made oaths, yes. The Old Testament saints of God, they made oaths. And the Apostle Paul made oaths. And the Bible speaks about this. And there is the legitimate use of oaths and vows. Now, what's the difference? An oath has to do with a man to man. A vow has to do with man and God. And so, God himself and the Old Testament saints, the New Testament, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he also, when Caiaphas said, I adjure you, in the name of God, art thou the Christ? And he said, thou sayest I am. So oath is something, it may sound good to you and say, well, that's, there it is in the Bible. But you got to take the Word of God in its entirety, like an inverted pyramid. Not just take that verse and say, that's it. But I do want to say there's some reasons for this call for honesty that we find in Matthew chapter 5. And you know there are reasons, don't you, friends? Actually, he's using the third commandment and the seventh commandment. And the reason that the Lord has explained this, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had what was referred to as Pharisaical oath-making. Pharisaical scribe oath-making. Yes, that's it. Now, they were a religious bunch, and they knew the third commandment like you know it, and the seventh commandment. And they said, now, this business of making an oath, they believed it, that if you invoke God, God's name, that he could not be broken. They knew that. You know that. But if I may say it, as the human nature is, sometimes you like to weasel out of things. If you're not a farm person, you don't know what a weasel is, but there's little buggers that'll come in and kill all your chickens, like they did ours. They're weasels. Get in places. And these Pharisees and scribes, though religious and look religious externally and performed externally that they were religious, well, he said, I'll tell you something. If your righteousness doesn't exceed theirs, you're not going to make it to heaven. We better find out what this righteousness is all about. And he said, I'll give you an illustration. This business of being honest is what we're talking about. It's the best policy. And so they would say, well, like religious people can do, they say, you know, there ought to be a way to get around this somehow. That we can function externally and look good and sound good, but not really have to keep the oaths. And they said, you know, if we don't use God's name and we swear by something else, that could be referred to as a non-binding oath. And there is a binding oath, and that is the name of God, taking God's name. You cannot break that, they said, but there are such things as non-binding, which I call weasels. And so they said, in this passage, if you'll notice, please, in Matthew 5, it says, you've heard that it has been said of them of old time that thou shalt not swear, forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. They say, that's what you have to do that. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. He'd say, well, I'll tell you what. In the name of heaven, I make this oath with you. Well, that sounds pretty good. Or in the name of the city of David, Jerusalem, I make this oath. I'm going to cross my heart and hope to die if I don't tell the truth, something like that. It was not binding. You know, it's amazing. You can sign contracts today, sign all kinds of papers. You know, man, here's paper one, There's paper two, paper three, paper four. See, yeah. I signed them. But if you get the right lawyers, they can tell you how to break those things. This is very important. Unless you see this, that honesty is the best policy, you're not going to make it to heaven. I'll show you how you get it there. I'm not saying you do by works, but he said, there has to be among kingdom children, you who name the name of Christ, and we who say we are Christians, you listen up because I have a lot to say about this. I'm a God of truth. And I expect you to follow me. You call me Lord and Savior. And you do these things that the world does. You don't have the righteousness that surpasses the Pharisees, and you may not make it. You see, if you don't use God's name, they said you can be a non-binding oath. And they use such things like what? You can swear by heaven. Well, who's in heaven? The Lord's trying to tell us something. Well, God is. God's throne's there. Well, so by the earth, by Jerusalem or something. Well, you know, the earth is God's footstool. You can't do it that way. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And you say, well, neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Now, I know you can dye hair. It's not talking about dyeing hair here. It's talking about in reality. But it said, let your communication, or that word means word, your words be yes, and yes, and no, and no, for whatsoever is more than that cometh of evil. God, listen to this, friends. Now, listen to this. You see, in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44, it says about the devil that he is the inventor of the lie, or lies. Who is the inventor of lies? The devil is the inventor of lies. Well, what's that have to do with me? Well, if we don't take this passage that says it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we may be in trouble. Because, you see, by nature, did you fasten your seatbelts? By nature, I'll fasten mine. By nature, we're all liars. Didn't like that, did you? You thought I'd come entertain you this morning and say, man, you got to say something pretty. I will. I'll tell you about the Lord Jesus. That's the greatest thing. But by nature, we're liars. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. From the womb speaking lies. What's he doing? Just to get your attention? He's lying. Many times they lie. And you did that. And I did that. Well, as we grow up, we become more professional. Don't we? It's become such a chronic problem in our society. And are you in this society? Yes, you are, and so am I. It's a chronic problem. You know, it was a chronic problem, and you may not believe this. Back in the Bible days, with these scribes and Pharisees, they had a real problem with this business of lying, too. And it says that from those who have studied the Word of God, that they were notorious for lying. And dishonesty. You say, well, that gives me a little comfort then. Not really. If you thought, well, this was so, in this day they were so religious that they didn't have the problems like we got problems today. Yes, we do. But they had problems back there just about as bad from those who have done study on the situation. And so, in fact, I want to give you an illustration. Some years ago, we had a very popular man. He said, read my lips. There'll be no increase of taxes. Yeah. Well, he increased taxes. And he didn't make it the next term as president. You say, well, that's not very nice. That's moral relativism. That's situation ethics. I can do this because it's expedient and I did not take an oath before God. All I said to you is read my lips. And we do things like that. Isn't it amazing how we lie to please people? Did you ever have somebody that told you something that wasn't right? And you said, something that was way out of order. Why didn't you speak up? I want to displease that person, so I just nodded my head. That's a lie. Years ago, we had a man in the church, and I tell you, I appreciated him. I'd be preaching along, and something had hit him. I can invariably have a phone call. Hey, preacher, yeah. I wonder if you're going to be there this morning. Yeah, I plan to be here. I want to come down and talk to you. Now, there's an honest man. And he wanted to say, well, are you preaching against me on that or something? He wanted to get air it out. But no, we don't do that. We lie to please one another. I'm not going to say a thing about it, because if I say something about it to you, you'll get angry with me, and so I'll just shut my mouth. That's a lie. We had a preacher and his wife here years ago, and I thought it was so striking. They're sitting in the room there. Preacher, he was elaborating, and the wife would say from time to time, well, that's not quite the way it was, honey. So you start talking a little more, and pretty soon she said, well, not quite that way. And it got to a place where I thought, man, can he say something while his wife's saying it wasn't exactly that way? But it's easy to embellish. It's nice to have somebody who will say, now just hold on here a little bit. It wasn't quite that way. Oh, if I say that, they will like it, get angry at me. Well, honesty is not the best policy then, for as far as you're concerned, is it? Or what the Lord Jesus said. Your righteousness has not exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, we talked about purity in verse 27. We talked about fidelity in marriage, and now we're talking about honesty. The Lord said, now these illustrations are for us to understand something. You see, if you've ever been in the business world, in order to make money, there are times when you don't tell the full truth. Don't be shocked. What about advertisements? Have you ever been taken? Well, that's just the way it is with business. And when it comes to election times, man, we'll talk about honesty. You won't find it during election times. In fact, the matter is, Fox News is accusing Sonia Samira as lying. Well, politicians, they're noted for that. But not only politicians. I'm going down the road, and priest, Oh, man, what did I do now? Pull over. And I see your owner's card and your insurance card. I said, what happened? He said, you know you're going fast. Well, I guess it must be my speedometer's off, officer. Well, I didn't see the sign to escape. It's an escape way. Don't know anything about these things, do you? Escape punishment. In school, and those who'd have to take the notes of those who are absent, they know how parents lie. My boy was ill. Or he went to the dentist. And some of those fellows used to call up the dentist and say, was so-and-so, did he have a dentist appointment that day? No. I know a guy that would check on you. And he called the parents and said, you know, you've lied to me. You're liars. You can't do that and be a good teacher and tell parents that they're liars. It was the expedient thing to let that go. Or if we called in sick, it'd work. And miraculously, we get healed enough to go to the mall or go shopping. You say, well, these things are, preacher, don't make a big deal. This is the way, I'm not. I'm just telling you that that doesn't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and you've got a problem. We got a problem. You go along with such things. Hello? He's not here. You say, well, that's just a little white lie. It's a lie, whether they're white or whether they're black. And God is a God of truth. And our blessed Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So I need to take some things to seriousness. Yes, indeed. Well, someone says, you know, like I invited a guy, two fellows, last Sunday evening. Yeah, we'll be there. I said they'd be there. Didn't make it. Sunday morning it was. One guy said he'd be here Sunday morning. Now, two guys said he'd be here Sunday morning. He didn't make it. So I called him. Called him for Sunday evening. Say, hey, why don't you come Sunday evening? Oh, I forgot all about it. Yeah. Yeah. You say, well, people can forget. Yeah. But you promise that I'll be there. And don't show. Lord, what are you trying to say to us? Honesty. It's so important. I give you this illustration to show that your righteousness must supersede the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You're in trouble. Say, well, I don't want to hear any more about this. Well, I want to say this. Credibility is a very rare thing these days. Who are you going to trust? Huh? Can I trust you? You trust me? Say, well, we ought to. We say we know the Lord Jesus. Well, we live in a society of liars, and by nature we're liars. Say, well, I have been changed. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's right. And there's where you're going to get some hope, that your righteousness will surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Brethren, this is no small matter. This is the Lord speaking to us. We're talking about our conscience. So, it's the expedient thing to do what? Well, it's the expedient thing to not tell the truth so you can keep peace. Yeah. How much did you pay for that? Well, it was a wholesale price, you know. I got a good deal. But you didn't tell her, fellas. And you didn't tell him, girls. But you paid for that. Why didn't you tell her? Well, I'll tell you, we might have had some words. I wanted to keep the peace, so I don't tell her everything. I don't tell him everything. Because if I tell him, he'd just blow up. Is that the truth? No, it's not the truth. Well, you think your righteousness surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees then by doing things like that, huh? You know, it's called peace faking. Peace faking. It's called, don't rock the boat. What's the matter, preacher? You trying to say we just spill our guts on everything? Don't rock the boat. Peace at any price. But it's counterfeit. And the Lord is saying to us, you better take this seriously. I say unto you, I know what the scribes and the Pharisees said about how they can weasel out of an oath by not using the name of God. But he said, I'm telling you that if you try any other method, just say, well, in the name of so-and-so, he said, that's still God is in the earth, God is in heaven. Wherever God is everywhere. You can't get away of breaking an oath or a vow. But that verse 37 of Matthew 5, that's the verse that I want us to consider. You know, some of us who have worked for other groups, other people, we know that some of us had supervisors that if you'd tell them the truth, they'd blow their stack. Yeah, they would. Just get angry, jump up and down. I know what I'm talking about. And so the way to get around that is don't tell them. Don't tell them. Just same with our spouses and same with children. The Bible is saying here, you worry about hurt feelings, don't you? You better worry about the fact that your righteousness may not surpass the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. It says, verse 20, if Matthew 5, you got to look at that. That ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven if your righteousness shall not exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. And they were a religious bunch. And they looked it. And they talked it. And they tried to walk it. But in their hearts, it was all external. You know, externalism, isn't that something? Externalism. A description of a legalist. He has everything just right. Everything just right. He has clothes just right. Walks just right. Smells just right. Talks just kind of right. It's all externalism, religiously. And that's what he's against right here. He says, listen, it has to be an inward thing. Anybody can walk externally, like a soldier, hold yourself erect. But it's externalism, it's legalism. And it doesn't, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they were externals. That's all they majored in. And legalism is something that's found in churches today. Officers, preachers, teachers. And members. So you're telling me that God in the Bible has a lot to say about honesty? A lot. Are you telling me that God is absolutely truth? I say that. Are you telling me the Lord Jesus, my Savior, absolute truth? Yes. Are you saying the Spirit of God is absolute truth? Yes. Now, didn't you say he was your Lord? Yes. Didn't you make some vows? Well, of course we all do. Like what? Well, marriage vows. Okay. Didn't I just say something about Hollywood is telling us that it's just an ordinary thing for people to be divorced. Hey, that's the way it is. Live together, shack out together. Hey, that's the way it is. Didn't you take a baptismal vow? Before you were baptized, didn't you say that you would, you believe the Lord Jesus and you're going to live for him and a new life? He's your Lord and Savior? That you're his lock, stock, and barrel? You're all in all? How you doing? I like James. James, the fifth chapter. Why? Well, he's a brother of Jesus. That's one thing I like. And he, in the fifth chapter of James, the book of James, right past Hebrews there, in verse 12, is I believe he's using the very thing that the Lord Jesus was talking about here about honesty. Because, well, it is. James 5, in verse 12, it says, but above all things now, my brethren, talking to believers, kingdom children, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your yes be yes, and your nay, your no's, your no, 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 lest you fall into condemnation. Well, so if our God is absolute truth, and the Bible says that he hears everything. And he also knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart as well as mine. Now, who are we going to kid? I'm going to have to stand before him. You are too, as judge, as a revenger. Now, are you going to do it? Make it? You say, well, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Is your life showing that he's your Lord? Are you doing kind of your own thing? I'll do it my way. Thank you very much, preacher. Don't thank me. You got to face God as well as I have to face him. James, you talk about being condemned here, condemnation, lest you fall into condemnation. Is there a condemnation of God? Well, yes. We all know that precious verse in Romans, well, how wonderful. And I could just hide here and say, thank God for Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Oh, how I love that verse. Do you really love it? I love that verse. Well, what's so loving about that verse? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, I feel good about that, don't you, friends? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1. And who walk not after the flesh, oh, but after the Spirit, oh, oh. Did you have to put that in, Spirit of God? And not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, what we are in here shows what we are out there. You say, well, you just talked about legalism. I can walk and I can talk. Yeah, you're like a robot. You can. Polly wants a cracker, religiously speaking. But invariably, our words will speak what's in here. Now, if you fill it with this old society, its culture, and you suck up all that stuff, you're going to talk that way. But if you'll take some time to read the Bible, because he's your Lord and Savior, and this is his precious word, but you never even open it during a week, you're so busy. Aren't we a busy bunch? He said, you're not filling yourself with good things. You read the newspaper religiously, you watch the news on the TV religiously, yeah, all that. You're filling yourself with all that stuff. But are you filling yourself with the Word of God? Because what's in is going to come out. The Lord Jesus said that. And the way you talk and the way you act, it shows what your heart is. Shows me what my heart is. You cannot hide. We may deceive one another for a while, but you cannot hide from God. And he's the one we're going to have to give an account to. Oh, he's the Spirit of truth. And the Bible says, that the fruit of the Spirit, what is the fruit, a part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now we're getting to something, maybe to help us. I need some help out of this. Some self-control. We talked about the need for purity. We talked about the need for fidelity in marriage. We talked about the need for honesty this morning. And it says something about there's some answer to this. Well, there's the answer of repentance and dependence. If I turn and I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I like everybody else, we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God, but some of us are of different dispositions. Perhaps we've been more guilty of this than others, but anyway, we're all guilty. And we say, God, I'm a guilty sinner, I'm a liar, I know by nature I'm a liar, and I've lied. And I need help with you. I confess that. And I depend and I'm trusting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my parachute, okay? My parachute. I'm dependent. If you confess your sins to God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, depend upon Christ and his work, there's answer. There's some hope. That's good. You got to do this. If for self-control we got to declare war. Yeah, I do. I need some help. I know where this is going. I know what Jesus Christ said about dishonesty and the need for truth. I know my nature. I need to declare a war online within myself. How are you going to do that? Well, can't you check yourself out a little bit? Check myself out? Yeah. How's your past conversations been, huh? How have they been doing? Think about them now. I talked to brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Wasn't all quite right. I don't want to do that anymore. Well, you may find some people very unhappy. And preacher, I want to tell you something. Did you ever hear a roast preacher for lunch? Yeah. Did you ever hear that... that there are those who will say things about you for telling the truth. Yeah, I know this. The Bible says that there's what is scandal. You can say things about people, but it says if you're going to mess around with a preacher, you have at least two or three witnesses, because scandal is very prevalent for such guys. And you can have roast preachers. Well, I think he has the nerve to say something like that. Yeah, just go ahead, have roast preacher. But let's look at the Word of God. Take an inventory. Are you conscious? Thou God seest me. Not only sees me, He knows me. He hears me. He's going to be my judge and He's my witness in the name of God. I took that vow. What vows? Well, my marriage vows. My baptismal vow? Sure. My ordination vow? Vows? Unless you want to be a politician, you don't pay attention to this stuff. Oh, there are those who are genuine. I'd like you to name them for me, if you will, help me out. I'm not unkind, but it's true. And here's one. Believe. Who said this? The Word of God says this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now that's a good one. There's a vow or an oath. If what? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That'll stand. You can't change that and say that's not binding. That's binding. That's so wonderful. I will tell you this. Unless you do that, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, you're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. What? Unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your full confidence in Him, your dependence upon Him, you're going to be destroyed with everlasting destruction. That's what the Bible says. And God means what He says. He's a God of truth, absolute truth. I ask you this morning, will you repent? Will you believe? Will you take this seriously? This passage in Matthew 5. Let your yes be yes and your no's no's. That's the way it is. That's what He says I want. Don't equivocate. It's either yes, not a yes and no. That's moral relativism. What do you say? Yes and no. No, no, no. That's not what He says. Let your yes be yes and your nay, your no's and your no's. Yes. No. All right. That says that's what I want. I want your lifestyle to be like that. I wonder if we might enhance the study of the Word of God by singing this hymn this morning. Searcher of Hearts, from mine erase, 455. Our Father, we acknowledge our guilt. If we take your name in vain, we're not guiltless. And so we're asking this morning, as we acknowledge our guilt, that you would forgive us. Yes. And that we might have, through our faith and repentance and faith, and have the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Spirit of God. Help us. Our Father, help us when we fall, that we get up and we repent and go on. Help us, Lord, because we have your help and we understand it's forever. And so we're asking this morning once again, help us to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, by the power of the work of our Lord Jesus at Calvary, taking our punishment, taking our sins, becoming sin for us. And as we know him intimately, we have the blessedness of forgiveness and no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. May your grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.